Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. It's called a must-read for college sports fans and those who value justice. The book is Court Justice, the inside story of my battle against the NCAA by Ed O'Bannon, former UCLA basketball star leading the Bruins to the 1995 NCAA basketball championship, winning the tournament's Outstanding Player Award, numerous other awards during his college career, including the John Wooden Award and the Oscar Robertson Trophy, both recognizing the best college basketball player in the country. Ed was a first-round NBA pick, a 10-year professional career. Realizing that long after his college playing days were over, O'Bannon and his teammates were still making money for the NCAA, video game companies, apparel designers, universities, and coaches. Looking for justice, he filed a federal lawsuit against the NCAA and Electronic Arts. In a landmark decision upheld by a court of appeals, Ed O'Bannon defeated the NCAA. Shattering the myth of student-athlete, his story in the new book, Court Justice, the Inside Story of My Battle Against the NCAA, Ed O'Bannon with us on This Week in America. Hi, Ed. Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate you having me on your show.
It is an excellent book, and this whole journey for you started innocently enough, didn't it? It's like April 2009, charity golf event, go to a friend's house for a beverage afterwards, and you find out his 9-year-old son was playing a video game, was playing you in a video game.
Yes, that is correct. The day was no different than any other day, and you know, we were watching, you know, watching them play, and I thought it was fascinating. I thought it was really cool to see my image on the video game and my brother and my teammates, and it was, you know, it was fun to watch. And then as we're sitting there, my friend, you know, kind of nudged me with his elbow and was like, you know, we paid $60 for this, you didn't get anything. And I had that, you know, that laugh, you know, where it was funny, but then also it wasn't funny, you know, and, but at the same time, I chalked it up as something that, you know, just happens on a regular, in my line of, you know, work,
yes.
I guess. And, so I really just kind of forgot about it. And so a couple weeks later, close friend of mine and mentor, Sonny Vaccaro, gave me a call with his vision on suing the NCAA. And I, you know, oh, Mr. Vaccaro, you know what happened to me? You know, a couple weeks ago, I saw me on the video game.
Yeah, talk about coincidence.
Right, exactly. And he's like, well, you know, I'm looking for a lead plaintiff. You would be perfect. Like, you know, are you kidding me? That's great. You're perfect. You know, would you like to do it? And he kind of, you know, we talked about it in that respect. But then I didn't just jump at it. I, you know, like, hold on, this is what kind of timetable are we talking?
Exactly.
Whatever,
yes.
You know, so I had questions for him, and I took it home, you know, to my wife, and we weighed the pros and cons. And then a few days later, I gave him a call and say, hey, let's do it. I'd love to be a part of it.
You say in the book Court Justice, when you talk to your wife, one of the main concerns, if not the main concern, was your three children. They were good athletes, and you were afraid, knowing the NCAA, if you went forward with this, they may find it difficult to play college sports.
Yes, absolutely. And my nephew also, he was in my thoughts as well. You know, at the time they were kind of coming through the ranks, and you know, in the middle school age and pre or early high school age. And I thought, you know, if they are linked to this lawsuit, in which they will be, you know, maybe just because of their last name, they won't get the serious looks, or they will, you know, people will not want to be a part of it, you know, that sort of thing. So that was definitely one of the concerns that my wife and I had.
You mentioned when you get the phone call from Sonny Vaccaro, and talk about him, because if you just followed the NCAA, especially back in the time, he was considered sort of like a shady character. He was there with the shoes company. That's what was sort of bad about amateur sports. And you said he was really fighting for young basketball players back then. He was on your side.
Yes. Mr. Vaccaro, I met him back in the late 80s when I was coming through the ranks. When I was in junior high school and high school. Just getting to know him going to his camps and whatnot, I always found him to be a genuine person. I never felt any kind of pressures when I was around him. I enjoyed his company, great conversation. And throughout the years, we stayed in touch. And he went from working with Nike and the shoe companies into being involved in the AAU circuit. And that's when our relationship rekindled. And so from there, we kept in touch just on a how's the family, how are the kids basis. That's when he... called that one time and asked if I would be the lead plaintiff. So.
And your life changed forever with that phone call. Ed O'Bannon, our guest on the program, former UCLA basketball great, author of the new book, Court Justice, The Inside Story of My Battle Against the NCAA. He said to you, you've been wronged. You've seen it with your own eyes. And you stopped and you thought about it and you said, I've seen it with my own eyes and not just a video game either. What were some of the things that really bothered you that you really wanted to address in this lawsuit?
One of the things is athletes controlling their likeness once they leave. That's why I initially became the lead plaintiff, and why I initially even thought about it is because I was a former athlete. Those are the shoes that I'm walking in. I saw my likeness on a video game. That's the life that I have. That's the life I live. So those are the people that I want to stick up for. And then it branched off into current players getting paid while in college. But my biggest thing was to, and really still is, to control your likeness. I just feel like it's a civil, it's humanity. In any other walk of life, everyone can control their likeness. Doesn't matter what your occupation is or what you were in the past. And I just felt like, you know what, the times have changed, the game has changed, the rules within a game, the basketball game has the money has gone through the roof. Everything has changed except for these rules. It was almost a duty. It wasn't something that I sought for or looked to do or it wasn't a goal of mine to be a part of this, or it was something that just kind of kept calling me in to do. So
it's interesting.
I felt it was my duty.
In the book, Court Justice, you talk about your time at UCLA, and you loved those times for the most part at UCLA. You met your wife there. You won the national championship. You have teammates and friendships that will go on forever. So you weren't really asking to start a revolution with this, as you say, were you?
No, not at all. It was done, I don't want to say with the most innocent intentions. I don't think that's how I want to say it, but I didn't, I love my college. Like you said, I love my college experience. And I know a lot of people who did. I'm not trying to, like you said, start a revolution. I just feel like there are rules that are in place that, that need to be changed. That's all. And, we're starting to see the effects of them not changing. We're starting to see those, within the past month or so, a couple weeks, few weeks.
Well, yeah, what do you think about that? You pick up the paper one day, and all of a sudden you read that a lot of powerhouses in college basketball in particular under scrutiny, some facing prosecution by the Department of Justice, and a lot of money being thrown around out there under the table, shoe companies once again involved. When you look at that, are we about to see something really major shake up the sport of college basketball?
Well, I don't know if we will see it or not, but I do know that the college world and the fans recognize that something needs to be done. And that was, you know, if you look back and you read a lot of what I've said, I've always said I just wanted to start conversations.
Yes.
I just wanted to pull back the curtain and show how the NC2A has been doing this. And you take with that information and do what with it, you know, what you will. That I have always felt was my job, was to spark conversation. If by chance we can facilitate some rules being changed, that is great. And that's icing on the cake. But I've always wanted to at least show people that there are people passionate about, you know, the situation.
Yes.
And the rules that are in place, and are passionate about this opportunity to spark change. And that's what I've always felt my job was. That was my job, and I will continue to feel that way.
You can follow all of the legal proceedings, court justice, the inside story of my battle against the NCAA, written by Ed O'Bannon, forward, by the way, by Jeremy Shapp, written along with Michael McCann. You can follow all of that in a book. When it's all over with, the NCAA was sort of like, you know what, we were only ordered to do what we had planned on doing anyway. And you point out, no, we won, and it did matter.
Oh, yes, absolutely, it did matter. And I don't know that we could have found a better judge to preside over our law, over our court, time in court. The fact that she was a woman who didn't know anything about sports and had no dog in the fight, was comforting to me. I don't know that it would have made a difference if she was a sports fan. But just for me, for my own emotional comfort, it felt good to be in front of someone who was only looking at this. I knew just by sheer of knowledge, she was in it for, or not the athletes, but for the right reasons,
right.
Make sure that the civil laws are in place, and that was big for me personally, because every now and then while in court she would have a question about any random thing, which let me know that she just didn't know anything about college sports and she was in it for a civil duty and not as a fan, so. This was what an experience. What an experience.
Well, it was, and you'll find it all in the book, Court Justice, The Inside Story of My Battle Against the NCAA. Ed O'Bannon, our guest in the program. The book is available all across the country, and you can link on directly with Amazon, others, to get information on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's interesting, as you follow this, at the end of the book, you've got a call to action, My 12 Ideas for Fixing College Sports. And take some of these are interesting. And you talk a lot in the book about the fact trying to be a college student and an athlete, especially in a prominent sport like basketball, is difficult. And you talk about ending the fake NCAA rules and policies like the 24-hour per week rule. And you said other than basketball, you didn't have a whole lot of time for studies. Talk about that and the concept of clustering that you mentioned in the book.
Yes, absolutely. And what I meant by that is when we, you have your schedule, your set schedule, you practice a certain amount of hours, 2:30 to whatever it is, 5 o'clock, there's weights, and then there's training tables you got to replenish. And then there's also, so prior to that, there's class. 8 to whatever, noon or 1. And And you can only take classes that fall in that category. So if you walk, if you come into school and you have, like my wife, she's a guidance counselor by trade, and one of her students is on a basketball scholarship now. Well, she wanted to be a nurse, and she couldn't be a nurse because the classes that she had would have taken fell in line with the practice schedule. So for her to get in the medical field, she'd have to take a completely different route and go to grad school and pay extra, whereas if she would just take those nursing classes and graduate, she could jump into a $60,000-$70,000 a year job. That's what I mean. You're only allowed certain times to take certain classes, and they might not fall in line with what you truly want to study.
Ed O'Bannon, our guest on This Week in America, talking about his book, Court Justice, The Inside Story of My Battle Against the NCAA.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
Call 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.